If you catch on to the chorus, feel free to sing along with us.
I just heard during our little greeting time here that Mary Bosie was out to Toronto and stopped in and saw the Bamberry family. So She brings us greetings from the Banburys, and if you want to catch up on all of them, talk to Mary later on over tea and coffee. Also a second plug for somebody wanting people to help rake leaves named Marcus. It's in the bulletin. Jeff Dressaus, can you come? Well, we're going to take a time now to just give thanks to the Lord for what He's done in our lives. And Mr. and Mrs. Dressaus and Miss Stebbing lead our Roots program, which is our grade 6, 7, 8. That's it. Grade 6, 7, 8 youth group. And they just had last Friday night spent giving thanks and writing down what they were thankful for. And so I asked Mr. Dressaus if he would start off with getting some of our Roots young people to share at the beginning here.
All right. So, kids, this is your big chance. Normally on Sunday mornings, you have to wait till the grown-ups do everything first, like eating and everything. So this time, we get to go first. So, Jamin, Paul, Jordan, who else we got here? Hannah, Katrina. Oh, look, they're all over here. Come on, girls. Come on up, everybody. Some of you I talked to, some of you I didn't, but come on up anyway. There's heads bobbing down below at the back there. You know, it's a good idea if you're trying to hide, don't move, because when you move, people's eyes are attracted to you. So just come on up, guys. While they're coming up, I just want to say I'm really grateful. Andrea and I have been very grateful to have a chance to start meeting together with these kids. I must honestly say that each one of these guys and girls that we see, I see the hand of God on, and I'm very thankful to you parents who are allowing us to spend time with your kids and for doing such a great job yourselves. I was really reminded as the rest of the kids come up, I was really reminded that it doesn't really matter if you've got big things or small things. A lot of the kids can remind us that it can be just simple little things that God does for us that we're thankful for. And I want to encourage you later as adults, as we're grown-ups and other people are coming up, you may have a big dramatic testimony to give, in which case it's encouraging, we want to hear about it. But you may have something that seems very small and you might sort of think, oh my goodness, after that, like how can I come up? It sounds so small. But you may have just call it a small testimony, because I think it's three things happen when we do that. One is obviously God gets glorified when we say it out loud. And two is it encourages each other. But a third thing is it actually speaks into the heavenly places against Satan. And it says to him that even the small little things in our life, they're not coincidence. They're not just random chance that happens to us every day of our lives. Our God cares about every single little thing that happens. And that's something that glorifies God and puts Satan down. So, Well, Jordan, you're right here. Why don't you start?
Okay. I'm thankful for my family who helps me when I'm in times of need and all that sort of things.
I'm thankful that God gave me a good family and friends.
I'm thankful for my family and my mom.
I'm thankful that God gave me other people that I can look after and that can look after me.
Anyone else itching to come up? Okay, hey, we need a couple of grown-ups to help show them to the front. Jim, Wayne, or parents, even better.
I'd just like to thank you for all your prayers. As many of you know, Grace had a baby boy. His name is Stanley. He was 8 pounds, and I know maybe this wasn't the... I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for all your prayers. She had a really good... birth, much better than the last time, and we really felt that the Lord was a part of that, and thank you very much.
Okay, so the rest of you can come up anytime, as it's open for the rest of the time. You don't have to necessarily come up right now, but feel free.
Just for some of the adults, if you thought that Jeff was looking you in the eye, he's actually looking at the back row where there's a group of boys laying on the floor behind the back bench. Our Roots group actually is about 20, 25 kids. And are you guys going to share now? All right!
Uh,
I know what it was. It was Mr. Dresselhaus is so scary. That's what it was. Now that he sat down. All right, so last Friday night, what did you write down on your paper that you're thankful for?
My dad.
My parents. My family and my cat.
I'm thankful for my mom and my friends.
My mom, my dad, my sister, my foster parent, my friends, and GameCube.
All right. Good job. Thank you, guys. All right, and for the rest of us, when we give thanks, we acknowledge what God has done, and we acknowledge that it all comes from Him. So let's just use these two microphones on each side and just come forward and share with one another what God has done in our lives. You might be thankful for the things that the pilgrims were years ago, provision. I mean, all things come from Him, and it's a very real thing when you're starving like the pilgrims were to give thanks for the food. But you might be thankful for many other things that God has done in our lives. A little later on, we're going to pause, read some scriptures, and then share in breaking of bread together. The mic's open now. Who would like to share?
And it's in Acts 17, verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times set for them in the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We are His offspring. And this is in connection with the fact that I found out last year that I needed a knee replacement. And we sort of prayed about moving, but didn't know how we could move. We do live on an island and has 50 steps. And this summer, Arnold came with me, went to the surgeon, and I told him we had 50 steps, and he said, well, you can't go home for 5 to 7 weeks after surgery. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And Arnold sort of looked a little like, well, that was interesting too. So we prayed, and I can remember Arnold's prayer that it would be easy, that God would lead us, that He would be the God who would be sovereign and lead us in our life. And shortly thereafter, a neighbor found out that we were thinking of moving because of my knee and needing a knee replacement. And he phoned and said, I'll buy your house. I'd like to come over and talk to you, and I'd like to buy your house. Wow, you know, that's pretty nice. Can't get much easier than that, can it? And then I went to Ottawa to visit my daughter. And while there, Arnold, we had seen one house before we left, but we weren't even thinking of looking. And Arnold saw it again while we were away. And I came home on a Saturday. And on a Monday night, we bought an absolutely flat house with no steps. So I just want to praise God for His leading, that He took all that normal kerfuffle that goes with selling a house. I just praise Him.
My boss, Marty, was over, I think it was yesterday, and we were talking about motorcycles, and we had a test motorcycle, a new motorcycle, so he was telling me how nice it was, and his brother is actually a chaplain in the RAF, and I said, well, I think you haven't been hurt or had an accident because your brother's been praying for you, and I haven't been hurt worse than I have because my Oma Weeb used to pray for me, and I was just reminded of that this morning as the prayers. I was very fortunate to have my dad's parents were amazing Christian folks and the prayers. And I really felt the prayers this summer. And I'm very thankful for all your prayers and all the people that came to saw me. And I'm thankful that I wasn't hurt worse and that I'm healing up. And yeah, the Lord is good. Amen.
Just want to thank the Lord and give glory to Him. You know, if He's the potter and we're the clay, He can encourage us along our pilgrimage. Sometimes we can get really discouraged and wonder if He's with us. And I just want to give Him glory for the little miracles that sometimes He does to just let us know that He is with us when we're on this journey of faith where we need to learn always more and more to trust Him. And one of the little miracles He did was when I moved from Vancouver here, the stove clock wasn't working, and part of the condition was that that clock had to be fixed. I had only about, I think it was 3 or 4 days to move out. And they said, oh, there's no way it can be done. The only way it can be done is if you replace the whole stove. Well, the stove wasn't possible to be replaced in that short a time. And so I did everything. I replaced fuses. I banged it. I hit it. I turned switches on and off. I did everything to try to get that clock to work. Finally, I said, well, Lord, I've done everything I can. I'm just going to lay my hands on this clock. And, Lord, it's something that's impossible. And so would you just please make the clock work? And the moment I said that, it lit up, and it started working. And I give God the glory. He was just showing me that He was with me. And then the other day, just another little miracle. You know, I have a little thing so I can hear the Word while I'm driving in my car so my time isn't just wasted. And it's just wonderful hearing the Word. I find it's more wonderful than reading it because your imagination can really see the pictures more. So anyhow, the battery had run out and I couldn't hear it. And I thought to myself, well, this is silly, but I'll ask the Lord anyhow. Lord, I said, you know, I'd really like to hear Your Word. I'm sorry that the battery's dead, but, you know, is it possible that, I mean, I saw that dead thing come up. It comes up with a big symbol saying it's dead, right? And so I said, but I'm going to just plug it in, Lord, and I'd like to hear the Word. And so if You want to let me hear it, go ahead. And it actually worked the whole way from driving from Surrey all the way to where my dad was. I heard the Word. I was amazed. I mean, it may seem like a little thing, but God does these things to let us know He's... And there's... On the 700 Club, if you ever watch that, there's miracles there. They have a whole DVD on miracles, and some of them are really great miracles, but He's with us. And sometimes He will encourage us if our lives are given to Him and we're walking with Him. He encourages us. Thank you.
Five years ago, when we came here in Canada, we left our family in the Philippines. And we are so blessed that we have a big family here, the family of God. And we are very grateful for that. 1 month before we left in the Philippines, our plan was in Toronto. But a month before that, we found out that Helen's godfather was the owner of this house, and it was vacant, so we changed our destination. So we are here in Vancouver. So that's a blessing. And you know, in Canada, you need a car. So after 1 year, we just want to buy us a very old car, and we went to a second-hand store, and the guy said, oh, you're not qualified to buy a car. You're just new in Canada, and I don't want to spend time with you. And so we just get out there, and a week after we went to Toyota, just window shopping the car, and there's a guy there. Oh, you're new in Canada and you like to buy a car, and he gave us give us your documents in the Philippines and what your background and like this. And you can get a car. And after 1 week, he said, "Oh, you can get a car." And we told him, "We don't have down payment yet. We're waiting for our tax refund. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of the down payment, go to this bank and errands. Then we got a car with a new car without any money, and so that's a blessing for us. Then and spiritually, and before we left here in Canada, before we came here in Canada, somebody gave me a prophetic message, and Brin also gave me a prophetic message. It's really similar, and we're praying for that. But really, God is working with us. And from October, I had an accident, 1993, a motorcycle accident, and it's really I'm almost dead with that accident. I have to recover my physical. I have to gain my strength, but I have this job. I'm very blessed with this job that the first 6 months of my job, I'm doing lawn mowing and strengthen all my body, and I lost my weight and make me strong, and I regain all my strength. So God, it's really a purpose of God that I have that kind of job. Then later on, I was transferred in the maintenance. And last year, my wife, after working for 4 years in that company, so she's working as a regular employee now. Last year, and this year we got our Canadian citizenship, and also from early last year I also finished my program at BCIT, quality management program, and also this year I finished my power engineering certificate. And May, around April, between April and May, my brother have a multiple heart surgery, and during that 2 weeks time also Helen got an operation with their gallbladder. At the same time, my mother-in-law was also in critical condition in the Philippines with this lung infection, and they are just within 2 weeks time, everything is good and fine, and it's really a blessing. And with that 4 years, we were able to let my mother-in-law come here, and also my mother came here this August. So it's a blessing for us. And just yesterday, we moved to North Shore, the place where we're working. The place was very old, that everything had to be changed, even all the electrical outlets, all the lights, fridge, oven, all brand new, including the toilet. So it's really a blessing that we moved to a house which is all brand new, and I'm very grateful to also for almost the home group, the Mike and Cecil Mackay, Jim and Miriam Thompson and Marius. They all helped yesterday, because I slowly moved my things, but all the remaining things, the big things, they all helped me, and they just, actually everybody, there's some here that knows that I'm moving, they all volunteer to help, but I have only few things to move anyway. So everybody that, oh, you're moving, you need help? But there's so many people to help, so I just pick up somebody, just a few people, because there's so many people will come, then maybe they just bring one box each of them. So I'm very grateful for this family and for the spiritual blessing, and even the Cornerstone Cafe, I'm so blessed that Joshua, he made a condition that if he moved to North Van, he want to make sure that he want to go to Cornerstone Cafe every Friday, and that mission. And even the school, I want to make sure that I will not move to West Coast. I want to go to West Coast Christian School, even though we moved to North Shore, and just make sure without that. So thank you for that, and we are so blessed. I praise God.
So we always say what we think, so we thank God He has done all of for us. But I also question myself, So what I should thank him, what he did for me, for my family. So I'm just living a very simple, plain life. So looks nothing happened every day. So I think how to find out, thanks God, what he has done for me. So think, actually, I think all things is depends God. He gave me the happy life since I came to Canada. So even though he didn't give me a big house, wonderful job, exciting so parties, but I have a very peaceful life. I have a house, but not very big, but enough for my family. So I live with this very nice environment. I'm satisfied. Even though I'm do something work, looks simple, but really meaningful. I serve to a lot of seniors. They really like me. They said, oh, thank you. So I spend a lot of time to talk with them, even during the working time. I think, oh, my working time may be just talking to them, let consult them. So they're very happy. And also, I thank my family. You know, I'm personally always trying to be busy with myself. So suddenly I found a BCIT, a brochure, some the catalog. I said, oh, wonderful course, very light, very, very nice. I really want to join that, but so expensive. I talked that. My daughter said, Dad, I support you. I give you a scholarship. So he paid that for me now. So once a week, I want to BCIT to learn something. I'm really satisfied for that. So I thanks this my daughter, my wife. So all things gave me a very happy, peaceful life. And also with a friend all around. So sometimes they call me to describe some describe some problem. They trust me. Oh, I'm really happy. And also, I think when I was in China, so people in our church give me an email. I feel so warm. So I thank all of this, all of our people in our church. I thank God. Thanks.
While there's lots to be thankful for, I'll just narrow it down to one. In 1999, I began my degree. And this week, I just had my convocation, which is my graduation ceremony. So it's been an interesting journey, you know, stops and starts and wondering if I'll finish. But I finished, and it's all because of God's grace. Because it was a hard road, but it was good.
Thank you. Well, I have a great many things to be thankful for. When you're very close to the big 9-0, it's something to even be able to get around and to be somewhere like this. And I'm just thankful for the many people who helped me. I can't go anywhere on my own. Somebody has to take me. And so many people do that and are so good to me. And I could go on of things I'm thankful for. But one thing, it may sort of amuse you, but it's true. I was so glad of those hymns we sang this morning because I guess it'd be about 45 years ago when my father had gone blind. I remember thinking, maybe I should learn the words of these beautiful hymns just in case I should ever go blind. And here I'm not as blind as he was, but I can't read, and I can't read the overhead, and I can't read a hymn book. But those hymns we sang this morning, I think just about every one of them, I knew every single solitary word. And I was so happy about that. And I don't know, I could go on, but I just... I don't know what else to say, but I'm just very thankful to the Lord for many, many things, and I want to say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy. That was good. when I was sitting here, I thought, Margaret, you must have something to be thankful for. But I said to the Lord, so many things. Which ones? And then this verse came to my mind. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory might be of God and not of us. That's been a very awesome verse to me. I can't remember where it is right now. But it's very awesome because we have so many things to be thankful and we think we've done it. But we haven't. God has done it. That treasure in this earthen vessels has done the things that glorify Himself. And just to say this one thing that I feel so thankful for is that the Lord has allowed me to care for Robert Birch in his later years. He'll be 99 in December. And so we thank the Lord for his health and strength and his knowledge still, although it's not easy for him to communicate it. But I can communicate with him. And so just to say to you that I'm so grateful that he has not lost his faith. And when he says when people come into our house sometimes, often at the end we've had conversation and we'll take hands. And Rob will give the benediction and there's tears in our eyes because the Word of God is strong. And so this is one of the things that is really, I'm old too. Not quite as old as Lucy, but and not as old as my husband. But I have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the excellency of whatever I'm doing is of God and not of me. So I want to remember that. Every day, God, if you have faith, you can see God doing something. I'm sure you agree with that. God did that. I didn't do it. God did it. And so that we give him the glory. Amen. Thank you.
I guess lots of you know that last April we bought a house in the neighborhood. And we hadn't wanted a fixer-upper, but that's what we got, was a fixer-upper, because everything else about it was perfect. So our whole summer was planned that we would be working on the house. Then the end of June I fell next door and broke my elbow quite badly, and that kind of destroyed all the plans we had for the summer about what we would be doing in the house. But God so wonderfully provided for us, and there's so many people from this church and from our families that came by with their paintbrushes and their tools and helped us in incredible ways over the summer with our house. A whole bunch of people pitched in and paid to get our floors refinished for us, which was an incredible blessing, and they're beautiful. And we're just so thankful to God and to His family for the care they've shown to us. And I'm really thankful, and a little thing, just for the healing that he's bringing gradually to my arm. My dad comes faithfully over almost every night to do physio on my arm, which is a real blessing. And at the end of June, I played piano with one hand, and then in the middle of July, I was able to play with one finger on my left hand and my whole right hand, and now I can play with all the fingers of my left hand, and that's a real blessing. To me, that means a lot, so I'm praising God for that.
I'm very thankful for your prayers concerning myself and our family. I'm very thankful for particularly my wife and my daughters, which is really my family. I am so thankful to the Lord Himself. I am I am aware that without
the mystery of God coming down and saving, there would be absolutely no meaning to anything. And so I'm really very, very thankful for the Lord Jesus, for His saving grace and His sustaining grace. And I'm so thankful that God is, we sing, and sometimes I think it's just a little football chant, God is good all the time. But God cannot do anything but be good. And no matter what happens, it passes through the umpire of all goodness. And so, thank you so much.
There's one word that has spoken to me quite a bit over the last few years. This is this word, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. This was the word that encouraged me to start this prayer meeting, that encouraged me to not give up in the say low times. And I've been really blessed by this prayer meeting, and I think we all who have participated on, it used to be Tuesday nights, now it's Monday nights, just God has been teaching us to pray, to enter into His presence with thanksgiving, letting go our own worries and agendas and plans. I think that's one of the things that we have learned, not to bring our agenda before Him, but to, yeah, to seek Him, to have fellowship with Him, to let Him put things and people on our hearts. And it was very refreshing. I would say part of the blessing was that we had quite a few different nations represented, as this word says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. I think we have learned quite a bit from each other, from the different mentalities, cultures, backgrounds. At the personal level, it was kind of strange. I think I've seldom found it so difficult to pray myself. Personally, I've realized that sometimes I'm not so grateful and harden my heart. So then I've had some days where I found it very difficult to pray myself, but that seems to be part of the whole thing of learning to pray. And on the positive, but I would say overall, we have started to see that this word is becoming true. God wants to build His house of prayer for all nations. And just on the last comment, I've had this on my heart for a long time, also for the university, for SFU, to start some prayer. And I had always been waiting for somebody else somehow to start this, and this fall I realized that I might be the person to take the lead with that. So I called people together and we started to pray on a regular basis once a week in a small group. And the funniest or nicest thing was really one of the weeks we didn't have our regular meeting room, so we met in my own office, which is actually pretty tiny, like most offices here are. So, and on that Wednesday, we had so many people coming out, so that we had to grab chairs from all my next door neighbors. But it was very special to have people, brothers and sisters, meet in my office to proclaim the Lord and to pray at the workplace. And I would say we haven't seen a lot of dramatic answers to prayer yet, and if I look around, there are still some open prayer requests that we do have, but I feel that we have learned a lot about prayer, and the spiritual atmosphere has started to change, I believe. I'm very grateful for that.
One thing that I'm really very thankful and very encouraged since last week, when I saw Milene right there, and I almost put myself in tears when I saw her and told me that she got saved through that church years ago, mid-80s. I got saved in the Philippines, one of the universities in the Philippines. And, sorry, Milene.
And she got saved in that church when I helped plant that church. We went in there, and in this province, I look at the place and the environment there. I said, like, there's a lot of Christians and pagan practices and animism and all that stuff, that like a soup. And I said, like, there's no way, I thought in my mind, there's no way that this place will have some Christians going to be saved and stay in faith. Well, the incorruptible word of God is planted, and his words will never return void. And we worked together in a hospital, but I never thought, I always knew that there's something good about this girl. And then when she told me that she got saved in that church 6 years after we planted that church, and I just, my eyes couldn't believe it. I said, oh my, you really did got saved through that church? And I said, you know what I said to myself? I'd never really realized that really God's word is not, you know, when he said that it's not by our might nor power, but by his Holy Spirit. And his words that we say to people will never return void. And that's the encouraging thing to see her. And she stayed in faith all these years.
When I look back on my life, I see sort of two bright threads. They're brighter than the rest. One is nations, and the other is family or generations. And so I'm just so grateful because this year, God has given me the best of both worlds, actually. I was invited to go back teaching. I work with ESL students, and there's six languages represented in my classes with 33 students. And just a few weeks ago, I had them memorize the Lord's Prayer in their own language. And I don't know, it just undoes me inside. And I wept, I rejoiced. I mean, I don't understand it, except I know that they're praying, you know. And it was just, I just thought, Lord, thank you for such an amazing opportunity. And I also have a chance to teach them Christian perspective, which is about God and his word and Jesus. And it is so exciting. I love it. On the other hand, I'm a grandma, and I still have time to be with my grandchildren, which is so wonderful. And the other day, our little granddaughter, sorry, she's going to be 2 in November. She said her first little spontaneous prayer. She was having her diaper changed. She clasped her hands together, closed her eyes, and started praying for the members of her family. I just thought, wow. So it's like, I really am so grateful God is letting me experience the best of both those important worlds in my life.
Good morning. I have so many things that I'm thankful for, but I just want to glorify God for his unconditional love and for teaching me how to forgive and for his forgiveness. And just, I mean, I could go on forever, but I just wanted to glorify him today.
I feel the same way. I don't know where to begin. Thanksgiving was also always a wonderful time in our family. My father was a minister, and every year, wherever we lived, when it came to Thanksgiving, he'd make the huge cornucopia at the front with all the vegetables and fruits coming out. And Dad's not with us anymore, but I think in my heart there was something planted. The goodness of God is so great and so wonderful. And the one word that was coming to me this morning was God's friendship. And I just really thank God for the many ways that his friendship comes to us. Small ways, big ways. Every day his friendship is there. And I too have in my car, you know, the tape recorder with the scripture. I'm driving along and I just say, God, you're talking to me. It's really like his voice is speaking into my heart. And I really thank God for that. And I thank God for my mother, who's 88, who's got a strong body and a bright mind. She lives in Vernon. But any time I need prayer, every day or every other day, she's praying for me. And I really thank God I couldn't go through university if it wasn't for that mother of mine, I'm sure. And the other thing that I'm thinking of is the character of God that is hidden, that is deposited and hidden in the saints of God. And I was just thinking recently, when the Lord said, "Seek and you shall find," that's the way it is with our relationships with each other. His character is in each of us. And what a treasure of His friendship to enter into that, you know, just the knowledge of His character in each of you. And I thank God. I thank God over and over in so many ways for that friendship coming to me.
I really thank God that He is just as close as a mention of His name. That when we speak, He listens. And He's a sovereign God, and He doesn't answer, but He answers at the right time in the right way. And some of you may not understand this, but there's a way that a father treats a son sometimes is the best thing is to withhold your affection and let that son go out on his own and to come back and to seek the Father again and again. And when the time is right, to give an answer to that son. And that's a skill the Lord is trying to teach me, and I'm trying to learn from Him. And when we don't always hear from God, it's not that He isn't listening, it's just not time for Him to answer. And I am so grateful that we don't have to go to a priest, we don't have to go to a prophet, we don't have to go to people to speak to God, but He is as close as the mention of His name. Amen.
Amen. We've just got a few people waiting, then we're going to shift directions. Angela, come. And then we got Jim and Aiden, and then we're going to shift directions in just a minute. So those three.
Tomorrow will be 62 years of thanking God for my existence, but today I want you to pray and realize for me a great alive miracle, which was bringing Dave Bornan and his family in my life. That's why I'm here sharing this beautiful moment with you. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just remembering, I think it might have been like an email or something that somebody had sent me before, but it was one of these little stories, and it was about a corporation had done this contest, and they sent out these questionnaires and trying to find out who's the most successful. And do you own your own house? Do you own a boat? Do you have a relationship with your community? And all these things. So this missionary got a hold of this, and he says, "Well, the community has given me a nipa hut here that I live. I own my own house, so yes. And I've got relationship in the community. I have to have a boat to travel to all these other places. Do you travel? Yes, I travel to all these communities." I mean, every one of them he ticked off. And they, when they did the judging, they said, "Oh, this missionary out on this little island has the highest score of any of our people here, of all these ones that they've done." And that's something that struck me several times that when I've looked at my own life, I think, well, maybe I don't have a lot of the things that the community says, oh, just a success or whatever, but I'm so thankful for everything that God has given me, and I'm just really blessed and always think, well, I've got a lovely family, a lovely place. I've got just about it, like really everything I need has been provided. I've got my health, and I've just been so thankful. So.
I want to thank God because it's Thanksgiving, but also because thanking God is, like somebody said at the beginning, it is warfare, because most of the time we are dragged to not caring or not wanting to say anything positive, which is how I came in or ended up halfway through the service today. So David says, "My soul is downcast, therefore I will remember you." So thank you, Lord, that as a young boy you made me sit still in a cathedral and hear your word read through four times in 4 years or 5 years, even though I was wriggling to run away and sin and be selfish and other things. You made me sit and hear the Bible in Durham Cathedral. Thank you for my parents that sent me there. Thank you for my wife, Alison, who was very patient, mostly, and needs to be. And thank you for her parents that have helped us through difficulties with kids through school. They have loaned us money to help us through school. Thank you for my dad, who has sent me to, well, paid for sending me to Bible college after I chose to go, who may not know you, Lord, but I thank you that you're working in his life. And thank you for my children who show me your affection and love and so much joy and wonder, which is from you. Amen.
I was just thinking this morning about verses in the Old Testament that we don't often read, but the Israelites, as part of their sacrifices, physically gave thank offerings. And I'll read a passage which you might find difficult to apply to your life tomorrow morning, but think about what it must have been like for the Israelites before Jesus to give thanks in a physical way. And then I'll read two Psalms where the writers talk about doing this after God had delivered them. These are the regulations. This is Leviticus 7. These are the regulations for fellowship offerings. A person may present to the Lord. If he offers an expression of thankfulness, then along with his thank offering, he is to offer cakes of bread made without yeast and mixed with oil, wafers made without yeast and spread with oil, cakes of fine flour, well kneaded and mixed with oil. Along with his fellowship offerings of thanksgiving, he is to present an offering of cakes of bread made with yeast. He is to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. And he goes on and on with all kinds of offerings that they were involved with in personal ways. But imagine the psalmist speaking of God's deliverance in his life. And then at the end of it, when God had come through and he had not been injured, he had not been killed, then he remembers to give thanks. I am truly your servant, Psalms 116. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. And he remembers to return and give thanks. You think of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and Jesus sent them to go and show yourself to the priest, and as an act of faith, they did so. One returned to give thanks. And Jesus said, why? Why didn't everybody return to give thanks? Weren't they all healed? Only the Samaritan who came back to say thanks? And he was looking for the acknowledgement that they saw where their deliverance had come from. King David, when he was the Philistines had seized him in Gath, and he was held captive there, Psalms 56 is a record of how he prayed for God's deliverance. And at the end of this psalm, after God had delivered him, he says this: I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And this thank offering, which was partly wine and partly cakes, came to be known as the cup of thanksgiving. And Paul refers to this when he talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, speaking of the Lord's Supper. Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Now today we're going to share in the breaking of bread together. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, shared a meal with his disciples. And he spoke to them about doing this from that time onward as a way of remembering what he had done. And today as we share in the cup of thanksgiving, it's the covenant that was, it's a remembrance of the covenant made in the blood of Jesus. But let's share it not just in remembrance of his covenant, but with a thankful heart. The cup of thanksgiving, that we give thanks that Jesus made a covenant in his blood, that we are freed from our chains. He is the one who causes our feet not to stumble, because we live in Christ. Now, I forgot to ask some people to help me, but I could just ask John and Gail, you're here at the front, and David, could you come, and Linda, could you come, and Joey and Helen, could you come and help me pass out the bread and wine? We're going to take this around, and then maybe we could stand together. David, if you could lead us in a song, and then we're going to open up the microphones just a little bit again, or if you're loud and clear, you can do it from your seats. And let's give thanks directly applying to the covenant in his blood, thanking Jesus for what he's done in the area of our salvation and our eternal security, and giving thanks for that. We'll eat together in a minute. Let's just pause. And Father, we just ask that you would bring to our minds an understanding of your great salvation that will cause thankfulness to rise up in our hearts. Father, we want to ponder before you, and we ask that you would cause us to think about what you've done for us. Help us to once again understand your great salvation. Let's stand together. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's eat and drink together.
Faithful God, faithful God, all sufficient. Shalom, my peace, my strong deliverer, I lift you up, faithful God, faithful God, faithful God. Sufficient one.
Father, I thank you that we can proclaim your death until you come. That, Lord, all the days that we spend in this life, your death reigns over our sin. We have been incorporated into your sacrifice, and you have taken us up into you and paid for us by your death. And we continue to proclaim that your death is enough. That your death covers our lackings and our shortcomings. And Lord, secondly, until you come, what a privilege it is to know that you are coming again. And Lord, that when we will meet you face to face and see you like you are, when you take us to where we live eternally at your table, in your provision, that which has been a shadow becomes a reality. That which we see in part, we see fully. Lord, we look forward to that place when there's no more mourning and no more tears and no more troubles. And Lord, when there's no more struggling against sin, but we live in holiness and great joy before you forever. Lord, we proclaim your death until you come again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.